His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled, and immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. In the holy name of Jesus,
amen.
Amen. As much as this is the feast of the Nativity of St. John, it's not just about St. John, but it's as much about Zechariah, his father. You recall that Zechariah had been mute since the angel had come and announced the conception of his son. And what's striking about Zechariah's experience is that he should have known better. You remember that Zechariah and his wife were both of the priestly class, the Levitical priesthood, which meant from their youth, their parents were priests, so they would be priests, they would have studied the scriptures, or as we call them, the Bible. They would call them the scriptures, the Old Testament. And knowing the Old Testament, you can think of many stories where God comes to the barren couple, elderly, and says to them, "I'm keeping my promise and you will conceive." You might think of Abraham and his wife Sarah as a good example of that. And so God comes and he opens the womb and gives to them, knits together even, a son in the womb in order to keep the promise that he had made from of old. So when the angel came to Zechariah and said, "You will conceive a son and you shall call his name John," the right answer would be, much like Mary when the angel came to her, "Let it be to me according to your word." I've heard this sort of promise before. I trust that God will keep his promise, as he has in the past. But as you know, Zechariah's problem is not that he fails to know the scripture. He knows the scriptures front and back. It's part of his responsibility as a priest. He is knowledgeable in God's word. The problem isn't so much that God hasn't spoken to him. He's actually spoken to him directly, not even in a vision, but sending one of his angel messengers. And he knows exactly who that messenger is, as he falls down in fear, as you would. No, the problem is, of course, the same problem that we have, which is that of faith. He knows God's word. He hears God's word proclaimed to him. And yet, he refuses to believe. When asked what we contribute to our salvation, a simple answer would be nothing. But an even more complete answer would be our resistance, our unbelief, our death. That's what we contribute to salvation, and so it was with Zechariah. He refuses to believe, and thus God strikes him mute until this day, the day we recognize today. When God keeps his promise, Zechariah sees what God has promised, and then he keeps the word proclaimed by the angel. When asked what the name of the son should be, he says, "His name is John." Of course, this is a name that comes out of thin air. It's not even a Jewish name. It would, of course, cause great scandal, much as John would through his entire ministry, proclaiming repentance and baptism in the wilderness. John comes outside the order of the Levitical priesthood. He comes as a prophet, much like Elijah, with that camel's hair cloak, I guess, and the belt of leather, eating locusts and wild honey. He's a wild man. He's outside the normal order of the church. So his name already indicates what it's going to be like for John. But again, I think we should focus on Zechariah. What happens to Zechariah when now the once unbelieving man, priest, who had heard God's word, who knew the word of the prophets, who should have known better, now that he sees that word fulfilled, he keeps the word, And he calls his son's name John, as the angel had told him. And then, immediately, his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. You see how it goes. What do we contribute to our salvation? Even someone who is well-trained, even a pastor, what do we contribute to our ability to believe and confess Jesus? Actually, nothing. It has to be given to us. Our tongue has to be loosed. The Holy Spirit bestowed upon us in our baptism, that we would confess Jesus. And then Zechariah does something really quite unique, much like Mary, who ties together the song of Hannah with her own experience. Now, Zechariah ties together all the prophetic words that he had learned, the ones that he had previously refused to believe. Now, he ties them all together, and he sees in his own son the fulfillment of the promise. Not simply the promise made to Abraham of a son that would be, that whose offspring would be as numerous as the stars of heaven, for example, and whose son would rule by way of David. But no, the fulfillment of God's word to the prophets, to the prophetic office of a prophet who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for the Messiah, for the son of Abraham and the son of David. That horn of salvation in the house of David, that promise, that holy covenant that was sworn to Abraham. And so, not only does he speak of Christ, but he gives us a few brief words actually to recognize the office of John the Baptist, which is, he is the prophet who is to come, of course. He is the one who comes in the spirit of Elijah. But as John himself recognizes, his office, much like ours as Christians, is not to speak of ourselves and our experience and who we are, but like Zechariah, who speaks of Christ, so John, in his office, will point his bony finger at Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Messiah has come." So he says, "You, my child, will be called the prophet of the highest." Not the prophet of yourself, not a prophet of the future, but rather the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord, the face of Jesus, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, with which the dayspring, another name for Jesus, from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Not John's job, the dayspring's job, Jesus' job, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Thus, even before John has grown to maturity and has begun his office of the preacher of the wilderness, even here, Zechariah already sees that John must decrease in order that Christ increase. So even as he sings in proclamation, even as the Holy Spirit gives him lips to confess, he doesn't speak of the miracle so much of the conception and birth of his son to this barren elderly couple, to himself. But as the Holy Spirit always does, he gives to speak of Jesus. So even as he slips in a few words about his son, always is driven back to the fulfillment of the promise to Jesus. And so there's a lesson in here for us, of course, because this is what he does for us. This is exactly what we confess in the third article of the Apostles' Creed when we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." What does the Holy Spirit do but call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the Holy Christian Church on earth and keep it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith? Keep it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Exactly what the Spirit does here for Zechariah, we pray that he does for us. And then like Zechariah, having seen and know the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham and to David in Jesus, given here for you in the forgiveness of sins, Then we ask the Holy Spirit to open our mouths as he did Zechariah, so that we too would have our tongues loosed and to speak praising God. May God grant it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church Sermon Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.